Well, happy Saturday, quantum engineers, and I hope that wherever you are in the world, you're having a great week and you are staying sane and stable and ordered, and that you are able to use our guided meditation from last week's coaching call to sort of settle into a deeper listening. I'll be posting the audio guided meditation with the music. I'll be posting that right after we do our coaching call, so you'll have that as an energetic resource that you can use. It's a lovely 20-minute guided meditation that walks you through the coherence and through the expansion and through the listening. So you'll have that as a tool to continue to support you. I hope that you had some time to enjoy the teaching module from this week and were able to apply some of the principles there that we covered. You know, as we become more and more quantum and we move further and further and integrate more and more out of self and into the dynamic of soul and source, you're going to notice some things starting to change. And this is what we talked about in the teaching module, where we talked about how there will be more than one energetic reality existing at a time, right? The wheat and the tares, the plantings of the old conditioning existing side by side with the presentations of the new conditioning, the new realities. And that moment in time, or those moments in time, can feel a little disjointed, can feel a little weird. And, you know, to a very large degree in the collective, that's certainly what we are dealing with right now in the collective navigation. There's something very interesting happening in the 3D world that is forcing us into a stillness, for sure, and that is catalyzing something new. And so there's this middle ground that can be very it becomes a challenge almost to the nervous system. You know, we're coping with it with our spiritual practices, and we're coping with it with our mental strategies, and we're developing tools, and, you know, we're developing coherence, and we're developing our tools of quantum engineering. But what starts to happen as new realities start to take shape is that, as a, literally the energetic nervous system of the body starts to feel a little bit weirded out. And when a new reality starts to take shape, for a time, it's like literally like the caterpillar becoming a butterfly, that for a time, the energetic systems that used to support the old reality, even though you are deliberately using your quantum work to alter the reality, the nervous system isn't used to yet what you are shaping. And that's why it's so important for us to do our quantum work ahead of time, to be really sure you know how it's going to feel to be in that outcome, that that you practice the mental structures of what it's going to feel to be in that miracle, that you practice the energetic structures of what it's going to feel like for you to be in that outcome, that you know the thought processes of what it's going to be for you to be there, and all that other stuff. What you're doing in that process is you're preparing your nervous system, you're coding your nervous system, training your nervous system, if you will, to be prepared for the new reality. It becomes like I just talked about this in my coaching call just a moment ago. It becomes like a scuba diver who goes into a deeper depth, having to, you know, plug their nose and regulate their the pressure in their head so that their mind and body can accommodate that greater pressure. And so that's at this stage of the quantum practice, as you've started to dissolve the old conditionings of self, as you started to integrate soul and source and move those things together, as you started to get clear about what you want to let go of, as you're getting clear about what you do want to step into, what happens now at this stage, in order to prepare for that sort of next leap, is we've got to develop a code and a framework as we're stepping into something that is unknown, even if it's something that you are deliberately planning for, like greater degrees of wealth, greater degrees of health, greater degrees of success, greater degrees of relationship, whatever it is, even though it's something you've deliberately chosen. What we have to be able to do at this stage is we've got to be able to sort of intentionally start to shape the courage that it will take to step into that that new phase of reality, right? And how we start to take advantage of that energy of expansion and stillness that we catalyzed last week is, what's really important to remember is that spirit, source energy, moves in direct proportion to how much room we give it. I'd like you to write that down in big bold letters. Spirit moves in direct proportion to how much room we give it. Last week, and throughout our work together here over the course of the last few weeks, we've been shaping a much more expanded vehicle through which source energy can move and through which our realities, quantum realities, can be shaped. So we've been generating expansion, and you've been getting curious and more intimate with the questions that I invite you to ask yourself about, you know, what it is that you want to shape, what are the outcomes, how is it going to look, what have you got to let go of, and the kind of questions that I want you to ask to add to that now are, as we generated last week, as we generated expansion, what I want you to consider now in alignment with that question of expansion is, how can I expand my power? What would that look like? Okay, how can I expand my power and what would that look like? How can I expand my joy, my satisfaction, my well-being? What would that look like? How can I expand my wealth? If you're, you know, if one of your quantum goals is to shape a business or shape a career, or shape a greater degree of wealth, how can I expand my wealth? What would that look like? To continue to ask these kind of questions about expansion. And remember that when we get really clear about the questions that we ask, we want to ask what we want to be able to expand, meaning what we want to invite in. You know, what are new things, new energies, new attitudes, new approaches that we can invite in? And second to that, what are attitudes, ideas, etc., that we can let go of? What are patterns of behavior that we can let go of? So thinking, when you're asking these kinds of questions, think about what are energetic, emotional, mental, and physical strategies that we can start to deepen? And what are energetic, emotional, physical, and mental strategies that we can let go of? And getting clear about those things helps refine and clarify your perception. Right? Remember, this is all about perception. And when our perception is clearer, gives you greater access to your intuitive mind, your creative mind, it starts to fill in the gaps that the quantum is making space for. And remember that without a really strong, clear quantum goal, without a target to shoot that arrow at, the mind, consciousness, can't expand. And the second thing that I want you to consider here is that expanding that position that we moved into last week of expansion and stillness, that also helps you expand your power of choice, providing that spaciousness and that ability to listen from that position of stillness helps you generate clarity, right? And when you're clear, that helps you choose more deliberately. And it helps you get super clear about what you will accept, what you will allow, what you won't accept, and what you won't allow. And but being able to make those choices in a really clear way from a position of non-resistance, right? What you will choose, what you will allow, what you will accept, and what you won't choose, what you won't allow, what you won't accept, but doing it from a position of non-resistance, right? Again, what's happening in the collective right now is we're being forced into a position that many of us don't like, but it doesn't serve us to resist it, right? We're in this moment in time right now. We have access to far greater levels of power if we're not in a position of resistance. Okay. So things that we won't accept, for example, without being in resistance, is we won't accept drama. We won't accept relationships, either personal or professional, that are unrefined. We won't accept struggle. Financial, energetic, whatever, you know, things that you will no longer accept or allow. And remember in last week's module, we talked about those four levels of transformation where there's discovery, there's transformation, there's awakening, and then there's integration. When we go through these queries of what I will allow and what I won't allow, what I will accept and what I won't accept, those questions are in alignment with that transformation stage where you say, enough is enough. I'm no longer, there's a new sheriff in town. I'm no longer living at this level of power. I'm no longer living at this creative level of creative possibility. I'm no longer living as a victim to circumstance, right? These ideas of choice is you getting clear about those sorts of things. So you won't accept drama. You won't accept limitation. You won't accept relationships that are unrefined. You'll no longer be living from limitation. Okay. And on the other side of that, the things that you will now accept, again, these are all in alignment with the transformation phase of our process. Things that you will accept: generosity, excellence from yourself, excellence from others, the capacity to be really good at what you do, and the permission, the reality to have joy, ease, play, and goodness as an everyday occurrence in your life, regardless of what's going on in the external world. And again, that's what's happening right now. I'm so relieved that we're doing this work at this time, because we couldn't have timed it better. But the permission and the reality to have joy, ease, play, and goodness as an everyday occurrence in your life, regardless of what is going on in the world around you. These queries, these inquiries are super, super important to have sort of activated. As you've created stillness and spaciousness and listening, these inquiries are going to start to bring you guidance. These inquiries are going to start to bring you ideas. These inquiries are going to start to bring you information. Okay. And so those questions, those choices, those inquiries, especially as it relates to that era of transformation and what I will no longer abide, those things set you up for the expansion of the quantum reality to happen in such a way that it's directional, that it's moving in a way that is in alignment with the things that you have chosen, that you've selected, that you are shaping with your outcome and your reality. It makes your action in the world you're doing more effective, more efficient, more joyful, more obvious, that it's coming through you as a result of your shifting in consciousness. It's coming through you as a result of your quantum practice. And what I hear over and over and over again, especially with the people that are taking classes with me now, or the people that are doing one-on-one coaching with me now, or the people that are a part of my group coaching, is that while we're in the midst of this weird moment in time, without exception, even though there's chaos on the surface, without exception, people are noticing this really profound stillness and a profound ability to be in the doing of navigating this time from a position of really grounded awareness. Okay, and so that ability to be in this time as you're navigating change is an example of that, is proof of your work, right? Because this quantum process stimulates change, inner and outer change, and it catalyzes the growth and the alteration of reality to create the outcomes you desire. And it grows more powerful over time. It grows more powerful as you practice. It grows more powerful as you continue to plant your energetic roots deliberately, creating energy in the spiritual world, the physical world, combining those two to create something new. Okay. And remember that any time we experience something new, even if it's a new thought or a new pattern of thoughts that we're creating to shape an outcome in reality, every time we experience something new, again, even if it's something we've chosen, you know, we go on a first date, we eat a new food, we move to a new neighborhood, we buy a new car. Every time we get something new, the body will respond to that through the filter of fear. Even sometimes it's mild fear, right? You go on a first date, or you move to a new neighborhood, even though it's something you want to do, it's going to move through the filter of fear first. So, and then if it's something really big and really unknown that maybe we haven't chosen deliberately, a la what's going on in the external world right now, that filter of fear is even more vivid. It's a survival mechanism. It's a survival mechanism. But it's important to know that this survival mechanism, that as it runs through the filter of fear, is going to be activated on either a large degree or a small degree, even if we've chosen it intentionally. So as we are shaping our quantum power and we are shaping new realities for health, wealth, spiritual power, whatever it is, we're stepping into something new. We've chosen it deliberately. Our nervous system is going to respond to that through the filter of fear, either extremely or mildly. Okay? It's just a part of our biology. It's just a part of our biology. And it's a part of our biology that we need to learn how to navigate. So at this stage, when we are activating our quantum power, when we are energizing and expanding our quantum identity, when we are getting more specific about our choices and our visions to create new things, as we are navigating through those phases of discovery, transformation, awakening, and integration, stuff is going on in our nervous system. It's going to happen. So the energy that's going to be really important to us now at this moment, and really in the moment as a whole, again, I could not be more, it's just so perfect, the timing of this, that the energy that is important to us now, anytime we're making a quantum change, is to develop the energy of courage. And so that's our theme for today. And really, again, perfect timing for where we are right now. So if we discover that at this stage in the process, we may notice resistance in what's in our work, because we're thinking, oh, is this going to work? Or, oh, what happens if I get what I want? Or, oh, you know, what happens if it turns out in a way that I certainly don't expect? And ultimately, when we are doing quantum work, we want it not to look how we would expect, because then we know it's coming from a higher level of mind. This is why I say over and over again, when we're doing our quantum work, we're 1,000% committed to the vision, but we're completely unattached to how it shows up. That lack of attachment, the ability to let go of the control of how it is going to show up, is going to generate fear and anxiety and worry, right? Because as human beings with nervous systems who like to operate in the known, if you're working from the known, which your nervous system is comfortable with, you're going to get more of the known. When we're working quantumly, if we're wanting to shape radical changes in health, wealth, happiness, security, whatever it is, then in that moment, remember those two circles that blend together, where we're working with the known and the unknown. It's that center ground in the middle. That position generates fear. Okay. So know that fear is just a description. It's a thought form. It's a pattern of thinking that has usually been given to us by another person. And what we're doing in this, or a group of people, or a culture, or a society, or a media, or whatever, and what we're doing in this process is we're breaking that apart. So again, when we realize that when we're working with self and we're dissolving all of those conditions of self, those old conditions of self, to give us more access to soul and source, a lot of what we are dissolving there are patterns of fear. Okay. And so by activating our quantum identity, by deliberately shaping the choices that we want, by deliberately altering our perceptions, by deliberately creating expansion and stillness, when we deliberately create those things and we empower them and practice them over time, this element of fear becomes less poignant. It becomes less stringent. It becomes less intense. Okay, and we overcome fear through the body. We overcome fear by doing. We overcome fear by taking action in a deliberate, intentional, conscious way that is rooted in our chosen identity, that is rooted in alignment with our quantum vision, and doing it and taking that action again and again and again until it no longer has the charge of the unknown that would generate fear. Okay. And so even though right now taking sort of any sort of big intentional action in the outer world is a bit of a challenge, given the limits of what's going on, we can still take action in our inner life. We can still take action in smaller ways with sort of the parameters that we have around us right now. Okay. So courage is generated through the body. Courage is generated by doing. And so taking deliberate action at first towards your goal will require courage, the power to be and do through an unknown reality until you become stable enough in the in-between, right? While the old reality and the new reality are growing together in the same field, you're going to want to be able to generate as much courage to stay conscious while you're in that in-between position. Okay. And so this ability to stay stable, this ability to stay ordered, this ability to stay conscious through the partnership of your mind, your emotions, your body, your spirit, becomes a relationship with power, right? And that in level two, that's all we are doing is shaping power so that you can navigate the shift from one reality into another reality without losing your marbles and without losing your without losing your focus, without losing your determination, without losing your grit, without losing your commitment. Because in that in-between stage, it's going to feel really, really, really weird. It's going to feel really, really weird. And then the question also becomes, as we're navigating this idea of power, do you have the courage to be this powerful? Do you have the courage to be this wealthy? Do you have the courage to be this happy? Do you have the courage to be this abundant? Do you have the courage to be this rooted? Do you have the courage to actually embrace the life that you're wanting to shape with your quantum work? Right? And so everything that we're working on in this quantum work is about our relationship with power, right? Our ability to engage, shape, direct spirit, and move it into and make it into material stuff. So I would love for you to be able to sort of dive into that question, because power requires strength, stability, and courage to master. It's really important to recognize. As a metaphysician, as a mystic who has this degree of power, we need courage to master it. Think of it like power is like water in the body. The body is 70%, maybe more, of water. Too much water, we die. Too little water, and we die. It's the same story with power. Too much power without an ability to manage it emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually can be a disaster. Too little power emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually can be catastrophic. Okay? So it's really important to understand that we want there to be an energetic balance with this power. And there are ways that we lose power, and there are ways that we give away power. There are ways that we push power away, and a lot of that is rooted in courage. Am I courageous enough to have this much power? Am I courageous enough to let go of what I think people might think if I achieve the goals and successes that I want? Right? So loss of power isn't a one-way street. Okay? We allow others to take it. We allow external circumstances to take it, as is a massive prime example of what's going on right now in the 3D world. So many people right now are experiencing a massive loss of power because of what's going on in the 3D world, and they are allowing the 3D world to take their power. Okay? There's got to be an agreement in order for this power loss to occur. In order for any circumstance or any person, any scenario to take power away from you or to influence your power in any way, you have to agree to it. You have to say, yes, this person has more power than I. They are in control of stuff in my life, my happiness, my success, my finances, my outcome, whether there's a roof over my head. And so I'm going to give them power. You have to agree to that. It's the same thing with what's going on in the 3D world right now. Ooh, there's a virus. Ooh, there's this. Ooh, there's that. Ooh, there's this. You've got to shut down the world. Right? If we agree to give power to that circumstance, we're going to feel it. It's going to suck. And if you're giving power to those external circumstances, it's going to be very, very, very difficult to cultivate any kind of quantum ability. Okay. So I want you to also get really clear about who people in your present, people from your past, you're giving power to. And to, right, and to call that power back. And just to say again, along the line of transformation, to say, I'm not doing this anymore. Enough is enough. I've given that person enough control over my life. I've given that person enough power over me. It might be a parent who is unkind to you. It might be a spouse that you divorced who took half of your money. It could be a boss that fired you. At this moment, we say no more. I no longer give power to that scenario or circumstance. And you make a choice. And making that choice requires courage, because when you make that choice, then the whole dynamic of energy that returns to you is going to be different. And then the same thing with the external circumstances that are happening right now. You look at your bank account and you go, oh man, wow, this is making me miserable and I'm stressed out and I can't handle it. Or, you know, what's going on with the corona situation right now. To be able to look at that stuff that's going on in the 3D world and say, I am not giving that any power. It's an external thing. It's a 3D thing, which means as a mystic, we understand that it is an effect. It has no cause. Consciousness, mind, is the only cause. 3D world is an effect. Okay? And so anytime you are giving power to the 3D world, you are losing power. As you are losing power or giving power away, it's very difficult to be an effective quantum engineer. So we call all of that power back. And that requires courage. So if there's anything in your 3D world, past or present, or a person in your 3D world, past or present, scenario in your 3D world, past or present, that you've been giving power to, that you've been saying, my life is a certain way because of this person, or my life is a certain way because of this circumstance, make a list of those things, and then deliberately, intentionally, through that process of transformation where you say, enough, I'm not doing it anymore, I'm calling all of my power back, and I'm going to start to live in a completely different way, make a list of that, those things. It's in those energetic equations where so much energy is returned to you. And sever the agreements that you've been carrying with those circumstances. Sever your agreements, your energetic power exchange with those people, with those circumstances, with those scenarios. And commit to them through that process of transformation. Say, I'm done. I'm not doing it anymore. Not doing it anymore. And notice if there's any kind of hesitation around that, those choices. Notice if there's any sort of addiction to it. I remember some time ago I was working with a client in private coaching, and she had an energetic habit of constantly going back to an old relationship and sort of energetically pining over it. And it was really causing her a lot of problems. It was pulling so much of her focus. It was pulling so much of her energy. Her mind kept going back to this person who was clearly not in any way, shape, or form in any kind of alignment with where she was going, but she could not let it go. And so I walked her through a process. I said, we did this calling back her power process. And I said, sever the ties. What would it look like if this energetic relationship was gone, where you deliberately chose to sever those energetic ties so that this person was no longer a part of your life? I say, imagine it. And she imagined it and she started to cry. And I said, what's coming to the surface? And she said, even though this relationship is toxic and it is limiting me, I see how if it were gone, I would have nothing energetically debilitating to focus on. And it was really, and she said, I don't know if I'm brave enough to not have this energetic distortion in my world. And I said, well, until such a time as you are brave enough to not have this energetic distortion in the world, in your world, it will continue to be a problem. I said, so can you generate the courage required to sever the ties and be able to step into the unknown of what might emerge when that happens. And she says, well, I don't know, but I'll give it a try. But what that revealed to her in that moment was that even though she knew the old circumstance was pulling power from her, and it actually was making her sick, and it was causing all sorts of discombobulations in her world. She was working very diligently to quantumly create the new outcome, but she had this one hook. She had this one very profound energetic addiction that she constantly went back to. And when she recognized what it was costing her, recognized as well that she didn't know if she had the courage to let go of it because of what it would mean if it wasn't there anymore. So that was an energetic agreement that she had to sever in order to really achieve the things that she wanted to achieve. That in that moment for her was old reality and new reality existing in the same space. And in the scenario that we talked about in our module this week, where we had the weeds and the wheat existing in the same field, in this scenario, in this circumstance, her weeds, her old reality was choking the life out of the new stuff that she was growing, the new stuff that she was shaping. And she had to energetically really make a conscious choice to say, no more, no more, I'm not doing it anymore. So I want you to recognize where you have patterns that keep you hooked into the old, and then ask yourself to dismantle those things if you have the courage to say no more. And if you have the courage, great. If you notice that there's a resistance, ask yourself, well, why is there some resistance here? What are the thoughts or the fears that arise when I make the decisions that are going to affect my future, meaning I've got to let go of the old stuff, right? These are called, in our quantum practice, these are called choice points, a choice point. What I do in this moment, the decision I make in this moment, the energy I apply in this moment is a choice point. I get to decide. I get to choose what aspect of spiritual energy, emotional energy, mental energy, physical energy I'm going to use in this moment. And that choice point is going to affect your future. And a choice point requires the most courage because it's a single moment in time. It's a single probability in which you don't know what will happen next. In this moment, I'm going to choose to do something I've never done before. And that includes letting go of stuff that I have been using to suck my power. Choice points require the most courage. Because listen, it's safe to repeat patterns that you know. When we're working quantumly, we are stepping into patterns that we're not familiar with. And that's why we do so much energetic preparation ahead of time, right? To familiarize our mind, to familiarize our body, to familiarize our energetic spirit, to familiarize our feelings with as much familiarity with the new reality that we possibly can. Okay. So it's safe to repeat patterns that you know. That's why being quantum and working quantumly requires so much courage. And Joseph Campbell says of the mystical or the heroic journey or the quantum journey, he says, as you go the way of life, you will see a great chasm. Jump. It's not as wide as you think. So these quantum leaps, these choice points we make that require courage, they're fucking scary because they're unfamiliar, but the leap isn't as great as we think it is. It just feels really giant because it's unknown. So the quantum engineer understands this and uses courage to carry him through these in-betweens. who you used to be, your old identity, as you're jumping into this quantum, this new quantum identity, into who you're becoming, right? It's courage. In initiation cultures, in mystical initiation cultures, it's the moment of crucifixion. It's the moment of the old dying and giving way to the new. Right? It's you inviting the old reality to die so a new reality can be born. Like the caterpillar has to pass away so the butterfly can exist. Right? So it's old patterns of power and powerlessness being sacrificed, being let go of, so new patterns of power can emerge. Okay? And so the quantum engineer understands these moments, these tiny little deaths of old identity, these tiny little deaths of old reality. Because in your quantum, in the thing that you're shaping quantumly, you're not going to be you anymore. You're going to be somebody different. You're going to be healthier. You're going to be wealthier. You're going to have a different relationship. You're going to exist at a different level of power. You're going to exist at a different level of soul and source energy. So you're no longer going to be the old you. So you might as well let go of it now. You might as well let go of those images now. You might as well get out of your own way. You might as well stop creating yourself in somebody else's words and somebody else's ideas and somebody else's image and somebody else's belief system, somebody else's line of imagination, right? Everything we see, sense, and experience in the world as a collective, that's a hodgepodge of a bunch of other people's imaginations, a bunch of other people's ideas, a bunch of other people's thoughts and words. And we get to look at that and say, nope, that's not mine. Uh-uh. Right? So as an inquiry, here's an exercise. Whose words, whose ideas, whose imaginings have you up until now been creating yourself by? A teacher's, a parent's, a culture. Whose life have you been living? And maybe part of it's your own, and maybe part of it's your conditioning. Remember that all of us are slowly but surely peeling away levels of conditioning. But you get to look at these exchanges of power, and you get to go, wow, okay, I see this choice isn't even my choice. Huh, that's my mom's choice. Okay, well, I'm going to let that go because I don't even like the color blue. That, right, I had this great conversation today with a coaching call, and we talked about this, about, you know, being able to make choices that are yours, being able to do the things and make the choices that are meaningful to you because it's what you really want to do, not because you should be doing them, not because somebody told you this is what you should be doing, this is what it looks like for you to live a proper life. So go through your reality and inquire. Whose words, whose ideas are you living yourself by? And make a list and decide if you want to agree to those things anymore. And you just go, you know what? No. You can say my fear with money or my relationship with wealth, that was something I got from my mom and dad. Man, I am so over that. No, I'm not doing it anymore. Or, you know, my relationship with being in service to the whole world and putting myself at the end of the line. Gosh, I learned that from my religion. Oh man, I'm not doing that anymore. No. Right. And we make these choices. You go through it and get really, really clear. And again, this is dismantling more of that conditioning of self. And that requires courage, right? Because if you've been living your life in a certain way and then you suddenly decide to change, that might piss some people off, right? Or freak people out, or convince them that you've lost your mind because suddenly you've become somebody different and it makes their world uncomfortable.
Right.
So the challenge of the quantum engineer, the one who truly sees, is to understand the world is rooted in principle. 2 + 2 = 4. What you put in is what you get out. Rooted in principle, what you put in is what you get out. And so there are no cut and dried answers. There is no single solution other than what we contribute and what we decide to be so. What we put in energetically, what we put in emotionally, what we put in with our thoughts, what we put in with our patterns, what we no longer put in, what we no longer energize, that is entirely up to us. Okay. And because of that great freedom and that great energetic responsibility and that great energetic honor, that's where fear and self-doubt can creep in. That's why the process of transformation in our discovery, transformation, awakening, and integration theme. That's why transformation, that moment of transformation where you say, enough is enough, I am shaping a new reality now. That's why that part is so important. That's why that commitment is so crucial. Because in that moment, you are exercising the energy of the spiritual warrior that uses courage to say no more, that uses courage to abandon the old identity, that uses courage to go a falseness. In that moment of transformation, when you say enough is enough, I am stepping into this new quantum reality, you have a choice in that moment. And be true to yourself and give birth to a new life in a way that you've never done before. Right? That's freaking huge. That's really monumental. Right? And so courage amplified when you make that choice. That powerful choice. And so here's some questions that I want you to start to get clear about as you start to step into this quantum path, right? You realize I'm stepping out of old reality and I'm stepping into a new one. I'm creating a new one. So here's how we start to really get clear about ahead of the game, we want to be able to do it ahead of the game, how we can start to develop courage. So the first thing is, and write these down. Number one is the situation. You ask yourself, okay, in my old reality, what isn't working for me? What do I not, I don't want to live this way anymore. Again, along that transformation track, you know, what am I saying enough to? So situation, what isn't working for me? What am I letting go of? Right? Situation. What isn't working for me? Make a list of those things. This is getting clear about these things is going to help you generate way, way, way more courage. Number two, desire. What do I want instead? Right? What needs to change? What do I want instead? What needs to change? Action. Number three is action. What will I do to get it? Well, in this case, we're doing our quantum work. We're doing our work metaphysically. I'm working metaphysically to get what I want. Okay, number three, action. What will I do to get it? And then these last two things to consider are the ones that are going to stir up sort of the most kind of energetic weirdness. These last two are going to be the things that are going to require the most courage. Number four, outcome. What will change when I get what I want? Okay, remembering that change, something that's unfamiliar, is going to be what stimulates the nervous system to be resistant. So number four, outcome. What will change when I get what I want? Will relationships change? Will where you live change? Will how people view you change? Will how you view yourself change? What will change when you get what you want? Because here's the reality. Shit's going to change when you get what you want. Shit's going to change when you quantumly alter your reality. People, places, circumstances, and things will shift. So what will change when you get what you want? And number five, consequences. How will I navigate these changes? Or how will I deal with these changes? Okay, so let me go through those again. These are number one, situation. What isn't working for me? What am I using my quantum skills to alter? Number two, desire. What do I want to create instead? Number three, action. What will I do to get it? Number four, outcome. What will change when I create what I want? Number five, consequences. How will I deal with these changes? So these are all really important questions, right? Again, it's not, if we understand that these scenarios need to be investigated ahead of time and courage is going to need to be amplified ahead of time, then when it shows up, we're not freaked out. Then when it shows up, we don't collapse our energy. Then when it shows up, we don't constrict our field. Okay, so that's, you can take some time to do that exercise. And then here's a second exercise that I want you to consider. We call it the two roads. Question to ask, what will happen if I continue to do the same things that I've been doing? And the second, and you can write a list down. If I don't make these grand commitments to this new reality, what will happen in my life if I continue to create the old reality? What will happen if I continue to create the old reality? And the second question is, what could happen if I had the courage to step in to the new one and make new choices energetically? And you'll notice as you ask these questions, you'll notice beliefs, you'll notice ideas, you'll notice thoughts, you'll notice power structures, you'll notice thought forms come up. And so we want to be aware ahead of the game as we're navigating this about where we are. Because when a moment to make a choice comes up, if it's a choice that's going to move us into a direction that is in alignment with our quantum goal, but is unfamiliar or unknown or something that we haven't done before, we're going to want to know that ahead of time so that when the unknown shows up, we say, aha, I prepared for this. I understand that this unknown moment is a portal through which my quantum future is going to show up. And I'm willing to say yes, even if it doesn't make any sense right now. I'm willing to say yes, even if it's scary. I'm willing to say yes. I'm willing to choose the unknown and step into it from a position of courage and power and trust that I can navigate it. And so this work that we do to catalyze courage, it helps us meet our belief systems that are obsolete. It helps us meet belief systems and thought patterns that aren't even ours. It helps us meet power structures that were given to us and we accepted so long ago that we say, oh my gosh, I've been dragging this dead corpse of an idea around with me. I need to let that go. And it's important to understand that people who are courageous, it's not that they don't feel fear when they're stepping into the unknown. It's that they've met their fear so profoundly that when it emerges, they recognize that it's just a thought form. It's just a bunch of ideas banging around in our head. So as quantum engineers, we have to seek out opportunities to do the things that cause us to be afraid. And to make those leaps into the unknown. Because those leaps of action, those leaps of doing, that is your wisdom, your quantum wisdom, your quantum practice. That's wisdom in being applied. And that action is going to be the only thing that's going to help you break through those old patterns that have kept you stuck in the old reality. So we don't, by identifying these fears that deep down aren't even ours, is more than half of the quantum equation. Doing something about it is what is really important. Okay. So there's a lovely quote that I like to, Ram Dass said, his quote is, "We break through our habits of inferiority by taking risks, by running headlong into our fears, screaming if we need to, but laughing if we can. People who escape their limitations do so through a gesture of power." In the words of P.D. Uspensky, he says, "Either some unusual stimulus fills them with emotional excitement, or some unusual idea of necessity induces them to make an extra effort of will. Efforts, in a word, are what carry them over the dam." So there are going to be times when your meditation and your energetic work, your mind work, your mental work, your focusing, your visioning, your meditation, the stuff that you do on in your mind is going to be of a benefit. And then there's going to be a time where you need to let that go. Then there's going to be a time where action is what is going to be essential. And those actions of letting go of a thing or stepping into a thing will require your courage. And really, it's in those moments where the difference is really, really made. And that's for sure where we are all right now. Wildly, vividly in the vast unknown of things. Then I'll wrap up this teaching with a quote from Carl Jung. And Carl Jung says, "When there is a light in the darkness which comprehends the darkness, then darkness no longer prevails." So all of this energetic work, if you understand what's going on, if you understand what's going to come up to try to nip you in the bud as you're navigating the quantum process, and it's going to come up to scare you, stuff is going to come up that generates fear. If you understand the why and the what of that dynamic, then you won't be afraid. You'll be able to step forward into the unknown with a greater degree of power and clarity and certainty. So that then gradually over time, those phases of discovery, transformation, awakening and integration, they're all collapsed in your quantum identity. And you're willing, ready, and able to accept the unknown of the new reality that you're shaping and creating. So I hope that makes sense. It's lots of stuff to consider. So now's your chance to ask your questions. Let me double check to be sure that I didn't get any emails with questions from folks who might have emailed in. Let's see. So, you know, what I want you to recognize is this quantum process is so beautifully intricate. It meets us in every level. It meets us mentally. It meets us emotionally. It meets us spiritually. It meets us physically. And that there are times when the quantum process, maybe it'll give you an inspired idea. And then you follow through with that inspired idea. You take action in the physical world that helps you manifest and materialize the goal. Right. Other times, stuff will just sort of show up. It'll just drop in your lap, synchronicity, boom, there it is, boom, there it is, boom, there it is. But other times, there's going to be guidance and direction that you need to follow in order to have things occur. And so it's important, if you've ever taken my intuition class with me, you know that we understand that when we work in the quantum, that things will show up in the quantum one of two ways, either the path of least resistance, where stuff just shows up, boom, 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 right? Synchronicity after synchronicity after synchronicity, or it'll show up via the path of highest good, which is it will invite you to step into actions. It'll invite you to step into attitudes. It'll invite you to step into certain energies that cause you and invite you to grow, to expand, to become braver, to become more courageous, to become more of you, more of yourself, to step into greater potential, right? So it's important, understanding that the quantum path will show up in those two ways, so that if you have an expectation that, you know, because of what we've kind of heard in the spiritual new age, it says that, you know, if you're working quantumly, if you're working spiritually, then it's all just going to drop in your lap, right? That's the path of least resistance. And yes, surely, truly, sometimes it will show up that way. But there's these other times when it will show up as the path of highest good. And that's where the path of highest good is, where old patterns are broken, old belief systems are shattered, old identities are released, old powerlessness is rebooted. That those energetic processes along the quantum path are challenging. You have to really show up for those parts. You have to really exercise choice point in those moments to say, here's something that's showing up in my physical reality. Am I going to respond to it the same way I've always responded to it? Or am I going to make a different choice? And anytime we make a different choice, that requires courage. That's the path of highest good. Okay, so if you know that these two paths will exist in the quantum, and you're prepared for them both, then when the path of least resistance shows up, you're like, woohoo, this is awesome. When the path of highest good shows up, you go, woohoo, this is awesome. And there's no difference between either of those options. Okay, so important to recognize. Okie dokie. Oops, hold on. All right. Okay, you got a hand up. Maiken?
Yes, hi.
Hi, darling. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
Good. Got a question.
Two reflections. When we talk about actions, I feel for the past, actually two, like even longer, I think maybe ever since we started working together, everything has just been kind of falling away. I think I've like all along is like waiting for these inspired actions. And like what I see is everything falling away, where every time I feel like, okay, is there anything else that could be kind of like stripped down?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel it's not that I don't want to take actions at all. Like I'm kind of waiting for these inspired actions, but I feel the only one that I received like generally was like my book. And I can feel that the truth of that inspired action, like the commitment and the no doubt and like how it feels right. and everything else is still kind of being stripped away.
Mm-hmm.
So just, yeah, kind of perspective on that. And then in relationship to that, then, as you know, with my book, then, you know, I've dedicated my, like my work and my everything to this. And then almost kind of out of the blue, I'm being offered this book deal in, mm-hmm. To cover the Asian region.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, that was interesting and a surprise and, mm-hmm. you know, big market and everything, but, you know, not my market, Europe, US and stuff, but it's interesting. And it's just been kind of like, you know, going along very slowly, the process, but that's like, I haven't doubted the interest or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then the other day I was meditating in like a really deep meditation and I didn't tune into this intentionally or anything,
mm-hmm.
but then it came in like unexplainable ways to my awareness that all of a sudden this feels contracted,
mm-hmm.
to go with this. And then to not do it was like more expanded. And I got into like a real kind of fear state because now I feel like this is like finally coming into my reality. And I'm like, you know, I'm creating something.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden I feel like now I was like, my first response was like, and then can I trust my intuition? Am I really sure that this is what I felt? And I went into this state and then I started to argue with it. And I do recognize the signs, but this mm-hmm. is, you know, from other intuitive, like I've followed my intuition, but this feels like such a, like one of the bigger steps to say no to and just go with that. Okay, then I'm saying no to like a big deal, but I feel it's not gonna, it doesn't have the expansion. And like now that I've landed kind of that experience a little bit more, I do feel it, but there's also, yeah, there's still like a left of like, am I really feeling like, am I really getting like true intuition? Am I missing anything up? Should I, you know, just close the end, like just close that, like tell them now and then close the energy so something else can work, like open up. So, yeah, it's just been like that whole thing put together with like finally something coming in,
mm-hmm.
and being so close to actually happening and then receiving this weird input.
Yeah, well,
so I would just like to get your thoughts on this.
Well, it's interesting that it's in the Asian market right now. I mean, the whole, all of Asia right now is in contraction. All of Asia is in contraction right now. So as it relates to the idea of Asia and you feeling a sense of contraction right now in this moment with what's going on in the world, I would hesitate to make any sort of big choices as it relates to cutting ties with anything right now.
Okay.
Especially as it relates to Asia. So if you're feeling a constriction around Asia, and this is just my impression of that the feeling that is around that has nothing to do with your book. It's the whole zone right now. So what I would suggest is to continue your, if there's a conversation going back and forth with this opportunity with you to, I mean, Asia's a huge market. It's a frickin' huge market. If there's an opportunity for you to continue the conversation with the people there, then I would continue that conversation. But in this moment in time, I'm encouraging everybody to resist the idea of making any massive, big sort of cut and dry choices about opportunities. And it just sort of strikes me as unique that the constriction you're noticing is around Asia. And so that's my suggestion there, to continue to investigate the opportunity because, and just be curious about it and make, and this is an invitation to all of you, is to make no big, massive, aggressive, life-defining moments while everything is in such a state of chaos. And be aware of the action, be aware of the intuition, and let it, and just witness it for a while, play with it for a while, until you can come to a place where you're like, boom, this is a done deal. I know that this Asia thing for me is correct, or I know that it isn't, because there's just way too much frickin' energy moving. That would be my suggestion, intuitively.
Yeah, I mean, it's a nicer suggestion for me, because that means I can still keep the options open. But
yeah.
I feel like, oh, if I receive this, you know, should I act on it? Because it's like, yeah, to open up the other energy, or can
yeah.
I also, because like there's also a possibility, I started investigating, that maybe I could still sell to the, because they only ask for the rights to Asia, so I could
uh-huh.
still sell the rights to a different market. So maybe I could, you know, there was like, if I applied my rational kind of logic to it, I could take
yeah.
the message and say, okay, I need to make sure I can maybe expand to, you know, that I can, that it's not like a dead end road, you know, it's like constricted space I go into, but it
yeah.
actually is opening up more, because I mean, I am in Europe and more connected to the US and with like
mm-hmm.
my clients. So it would be like, yeah, important
well, and
to,
that,
me to be able to be present in that market with my book.
Yes. Yes. It's a huge market. And so but again, you need to step into that wisely and coherently to say, okay, this is an exclusive Asian market. And that just would become something that you talk about. You say, you know, I have complete and total utter freedom to publish this in the States and Canada and Europe. And it's just, you know, that becomes something that you negotiate with the publishers, but yeah.
So listen to the intuition, but apply some a little bit of like wisdom and rational kind of thinking as well to the process is what
I'm
taking away.
Especially because what's happening right now.
Yeah.
Right. If that intuition popped in for you 6 months ago, then you know, before any of these circumstances had kicked in, then I'd be like, okay, well maybe look at that, right? And also to keep in mind that when an intuitive hit comes up, it doesn't mean to take all your toys and run for the hills all the time. Sometimes it just means, all right, let's look at this from every angle. Let's investigate this. Let's ask every single question that possibly comes into our being. Let's not go into this naively. Let's be sure all of our I's are dotted and our T's are crossed. You know, it just sometimes that instruction is there to just say, be very aware. Right. So again, right now with everything that's going on, those are the recommendations I would make. Because it is an Asian market is a really great option. It's a really great opportunity. You just very aware of when you go in and you negotiate your deal that you are completely protected to have freedom in every other part of the world that is available to you. But again, right now, all of the Asian
don't
market
just
is,
cut
is
it all
up.
Out.
Yeah.
I
wouldn't. I'd wait.
And this whole, like, we haven't talked so much about this, but this whole, when I look back and see how everything is kind of being stripped away from my life instead of, you know, I mean, my feeling is, because I feel peace and I feel expansion and I feel, you know, it's annoying, you know, because there's like this thing of like wanting to get going and like wanting to, but then I'm like practicing patience and stillness and like, you know, and just like using this time to get more wisdom, information, and teachings and stuff. But can it go on for a long time?
Well, I mean, everything that we've all been doing over the course of the last, I'd say, 5 years is has set us up for what's happening right now. Right?
Yeah.
Everything that we've been doing as spiritual workers has prepared us for this moment. And so my perspective on this is because, I mean, as you guys know, I was working on my art show for the last 3 years and had contributed 3 years of my life, many of my own financial resources, lots of my own time. I took time away from my business, away from my coaching to build this big art show that I was working on for NASA, with NASA. And 6 months ago, and in the 2.5 years as it was building, everything I did, I got a yes. I got a green light. NASA said yes. The artist showed up. It said yes. The people who were interested, they all said yes. It was go, 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 go. And then about 6 months ago, everything started to stop. The people who I had paid to raise my money, they ended up not doing what I had paid them to do. So, and then all the people who had said yes, they all started ghosting me. None of them were returning my emails. And it was just weird. I was watching it going, something bizarre is happening here. And I could sense it, but I couldn't put my finger on it. And as much as I tried to push, I was pushing and I was pushing and I was pushing. And I asked guidance. I said, what am I supposed to be doing? Because all of the magic that I was working in the other parts of my life was working really well. But in this show area, it was, the wheels were coming off. And the guidance was, go to the barn, go play with your horse, stop pushing. And I was like, but come on. And now I understand why. If I had continued to push, if all of the people who had said yes actually showed up, if the people who I had hired to raise money had done what they said, if I had signed the lease on the property, I would be $250,000 in the hole. I'd be on the hook for all of that stuff. So there's a reason. There is a reason for. There was a reason for it, an obstacle in timing to emerge for whatever this thing that is happening right now. Right? So when we get to the other side of this, which we will, the momentum of the things that we've been creating, it will be altered. There's a whole new riverbank that we're going to be moving down. But the delays, air quotes there, the seeming delays have happened for a reason. Because think of it. If the things that we were building and shaping were to have sort of been birthed right now with the world stopping, you know, what would that have looked like? Would there have been enough momentum to carry it forward? So to resist the temptation to look at the obstacles that have emerged, even as you've been developing your metaphysical power over the last few years, to say, okay, this moment in time that has stopped everything is happening for a reason. And if what you had been shaping had momentum at that time, would what is happening right now have been an asset or a detriment? And I think it would, I mean, this is basically the, you know, the whole world has stopped. Are people buying books right now? Maybe, I don't know. Are speaking tours happening for new book writers? No.
No, I just been canceled 2 tours.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, so it's always working in our benefit. It's always working towards our highest good. Right now in this moment, we may not be able to see the why of the delays. It was only when, for me, they canceled the South by Southwest Film Festival and Coachella here in the United States that I went, oh my God, I totally get it. I totally understand now why this happened, right? Because I would have been on the hook and I would have had 66 artists with their stuff here and no place to put it. And I would have had to pay for storage and insurance, and it just would have been a disaster. So to be willing to see why the delays, air quotes, are there for your highest good. Not that it's a no, this will not happen. No, not that it's that, but it's just like with the energy you're getting from the intuition around the Asian market. It's maybe it's not a no. Maybe it's just wait, hold up, you know. you see?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. And I mean, I do feel very blessed and guided and like lucky, not lucky, blessed, because I've worked hard to be in this like great position right now as well. And I mean, I feel really fortunate that even though I, you know, I've just been, you know, happen to be still supported and be in this place at this time and just be able to dedicate myself, because everything is also, I also feel everything is coming together in a bigger way these days.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything we worked on the past couple of years, and it's just like, and I'm glad I don't have to do anything other than just be available for that.
Yeah.
So it does make sense, but it's just, it's just weird. It's like, falling away. And there's like moments of like, okay, is this actually on my way to something good, or am I just a part of like stripping down my life to nothing? You know, everyone, you know, shifting work, everything is just, so.
Well, and think of that. Be aware of that. It's way easier to shift realities when you're traveling light.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. This is why in the Bible, in scripture, it says it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. What that means is most really rich people, again, and this is symbolism, they have so much shit. They've got so much stuff. There's so much clutter in the 3D world that it's very difficult for them to make a reality shift, because they're dragging so much reality with them. It's easier for a camel to move through the eye of a needle than it is to make a big leap in reality. So the idea of being stripped, stripping down, that when the reality shift occurs, your load is very light.
Cool. Thank you, Saranda. That kind of puts some perspective to things, and I'm going to wait and just keep my eye on what's developing with Asia and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye.
Have a good week. Moochu. So you see, guys, why as quantum engineers, what's cool about the fact that we're doing this work right now while the world is doing what it's doing is it's kind of like we're behind the scenes, we're in our quantum cave, and we're doing our inner work, and the world is doing whatever the world's going to do. And we're, as metaphysicians, you know, that you heard the statement to be in the world but not be of it. And so that's why the world is doing what it's doing right now in all of its high strangeness, that my suggestion is when the 3D world is in the state of discombobulation to hesitate to make any big grand reality shaping gestures. Right. Thinking of the analogy of when a caterpillar is a chrysalis, when it's getting ready to be a butterfly, it can't really do a lot of stuff when it's in the middle ground, when it's in the in between. That in those moments of the in between, the wisest choice for that life form is to just let the process unfold before, you know, deciding to fly. So that's why the process of witnessing and awareness and observing and just being present in that position of stillness is so important right now. And even after all of this stuff shakes out, when you continue your quantum engineering processes, that process of deliberate, wise, intentional action, inspired action, it's never going to be done unconsciously, right? And so what's happening nowadays is, in these moments, is just an extra dose of consciousness and patience is recommended. Again, when a caterpillar is a chrysalis, as much as we want it to turn into a butterfly and fly and be pretty and, you know, do butterfly things, if we stand over that chrysalis and go, fly, 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 grow, 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 it's not going to happen. Right? So that's why this time is so interesting and so ripe. It is ripe. Ripe, ripe, ripe. Beth from Boston says, hi, Simone. So looking forward to not feeling confused about where to direct my energy. I have so many interests and I feel confused about making money with them. So what would be fun to do, especially now, right now, in this moment, in this time, is to, if you have all of these varying interests about it, is to sort of in a meditation, invite each of those interests kind of to come forward and visit you, kind of like you're having an energetic tea party. And invite them all energetically to tea. And especially while, you know, times are interesting right now, to be able to look at all of those interests and meet those interests and ask them and say, given that things are slow right now, which one of you would I really love to spend the most time with? Which one of you would I really love to get to know? Which one of you would I really love to hear your story about how we might partner together? And to sort of see which of those interests rises to the surface. Because, you know, as a creative person as well, there's lots of things that I would like to do. I've got several book ideas percolating. And now that I have 6 months off because of the cancellation of my art show, which I had scheduled in my calendar from March to the end of August, I'd scheduled 6 months of my time to be dedicated to that show. Now I have a wide open calendar and it's like, well, I have this time now and I'd really love to paint. But nothing is really popping to surface about what I want to paint. And it's like, well, I'd really, you know, maybe now is the time for me to start my book. And it's like, well, it's there, but it's not really percolating. I can always go spend time with my horse, but even now that here in Southern California, they're limiting how much time we can go to the barn. In fact, right now we can't. So, you know, I can't even go to the barn. So there's all of these things that are there percolating. And the idea is just invite them all forward and see which ones merge. You know, the thing that got put on hold while I was building the show is my podcast. I didn't have time to develop the podcast and really focus on it. So that got tucked aside. And so it's like, what of those three things for me, the book or the painting or the podcast, really has sort of the most magnetism? What is really sort of drawing to me? What could I step into that is the greatest degree of elegance and efficiency and expansion at this time? Well, what's most available? And to ask those kind of questions, go, okay, what of these fields is most available for me? And to not even put the money part of it into the equation quite yet, but to simply ask what has the most energetic availability. Not what can I make the most money off of, but what creative process is the most available to me. Because if the energetic thing is not available and the only question you're asking is how do I make money, then it's going to be a grind. Then it's going to be like pulling teeth to get it to serve you. But if you can meet all of these energies, all of these creative opportunities, and see which one of them is most available to you, then spend time with that energetic availability. And then once the momentum of that energetic availability is rolling, then say, okay, now how can I capitalize on this? That would be how I suggest you structure that. right? Because then that way you're coming from the position of inspiration and energetic flow, as opposed to coming from trying to force something into being a money scenario when there's no energy in it. Right? I'd really love to paint a new painting. It'd be great to sell it. But if the energy isn't there for the painting yet, then trying to force it isn't going to be helpful. I'd really love to write the book and make it a bestseller and then turn it into a screenplay, make a bucket load of money. But the whole story for the book isn't quite there yet either. It's not flowing yet. And so what is most available to me right now is to revisit the podcast, reinvent that while I have 6 months to do that, right? That energetically is what's most available. It's what's most on the surface. It's what's most easily accessible. So that's how I would suggest you investigate how to direct your energy. It's not so much about you directing your energy as much as it's about looking at all of the energetic options and seeing which one is most available to you, which one is most on the surface, which one is most reaching its hand out to you, and going from there. Does that make sense? Let me know if that makes sense to you, Beth. Right? Because ultimately, how we look at all of this work is from an energetic position. Right. And, you know, as it relates to Maiken and her query about Asia, you know, we look at the underlying energy of what's going on right now and we say, ooh, Asia is super constricted, super contracted now. Now, is it going to stay that way? No. But right now in this moment, it is. And so right now in this moment, making any big decision about any other form of energy, i.e. a book contract, would be unwise to make a choice at this moment, right? But if you have several energies reaching out to you as opportunities, as ideas, then your best bet to be as efficient as possible would be which energy has the most, which one do I feel is most available, and start there. Right. When we play esoterically, we ask the question, is it efficient? Is it elegant? And is it expansive? So which of your creative choices feels the most elegant? Which of your creative choices feels the most efficient, meaning you have the greatest energetic access to? Which of those feels the most expansive? And you'll find that out of all of these creative options that you have bopping around in your being, that one of them will fit those three criteria more profoundly than the other ones at this time. Now, that doesn't mean that 6 months down the road or 8 months down the road that doesn't shift and something else becomes available, right? But for now, that's how I would look at that equation, okay? Let me know that makes sense to you, Beth, okay? Sandy says, I just want to share more quantum consciousness, more stillness I feel as I am in all I do. Obstacles feel easy to face with so much power and grace when I really breathe with courage and will. If it's something challenging, I ask for my quantum power and I remember how committed I am in this quantum path. Sometimes it's a little bit harder with outside noise, but I do it no matter what. I remember myself that my quantum mind is the source of my affairs, and I really trust it and continue to work on them. Thanks a lot, Simone. I'm so glad, Sandy. And I'm interested to know, Sandy, with all of the, you know, high strangeness that's happening in the world right now, how are you noticing energy in Mexico? Sandy lives in Mexico. And over the years, you know, as she's been doing her metaphysical work, she comments and says, you know, the environment she lives in is quite corrupt and there tends to be a lot of crime. And, you know, Mexico is going through its own consciousness shifting. So I'd be interested to know what you're sensing and feeling around you in Mexico, if anything has changed or not. And to just keep keep doing what you're doing. And you know, all of this invites us to practice non-resistance, like, and to be, and to find the most elegant, efficient, and expansive options to help us navigate what's happening right now. Like, I learned today that, is, you know, there, Los Angeles is in a quarantine. I learned today that people, we are not allowed to go out to the barn and visit our horses. The trainers and the grooms are the only ones who are allowed to go be with the horses. And, you know, I have to, my horse has medication and he has stuff that he needs for his legs and he needs to be properly fed. And there's all of these things. And I noticed how upset I got. And I noticed the resistance around that. And I noticed the turbulence around it. And I just thought, this isn't fair. And la, li, la, li, la. And I'm going to go anyway. And I just really noticed the resistance around it. And then I just had to sit with it. I said, okay, well, is this elegant? Is my resistance elegant? No. Is my resistance efficient? No. Is my resistance expansive? No. So what can I do to be sure that that I'm following what needs to be done in the 3D world, but that my horse is still supported? So I reached out to my trainer and I said, look, there's some stuff that I need to make arrangements for. I'm going to come out today and make those arrangements. And then, you know, I'll set things up for him so my horse is supported moving forward. And it's a challenge. You know, that's something that I love to do every day. He's not, you know, a car that you put in a box and you leave. He's a living creature and he needs support and love. But how can we do these things in a way that is elegant and efficient? Well, using our quantum tools. Sometimes it's a little harder, like Sandy says, when there's lots of outside noise and resistance, but we do it. And we remember that our quantum mind is the source of our affairs. So in the quantum, how we can support this transition is that in our own quantum mind, if we can position ourselves in the imagining that we imagine in our visualization that we see the world as completely healed, and we hear people talking about, oh my gosh, the quarantine has been lifted and wow, there's no more virus and everything is good. If we make that our imagining, then we can reboot this scenario using our quantum mind. But if we resist what the 3D world is doing, it's going to be really hard to do that. And I caught myself, I noticed it really profoundly this morning. I was really pissed off. I was really angry. And then I realized, I recognized it, I felt what was going on. I thought, okay, well, if this is what's happening in the 3D world, where do we have power? We have power in the inner world, where our imaginings and our energizing and our shaping in the quantum has more power. And so that's what we stay committed to. Right. Again, the idea in the metaphysics, because, and we talked about this in the module, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and render unto the Father that which is the Father's. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. That means do what you need to do in the 3D world. Follow the laws of the 3D world. You know, pay your rent, pay your taxes. Don't break the law. Render unto Caesar. But render unto the Father that which is the Father's. Do your quantum work. Do your meditation. Do your prayer. Use all of your raw materials of your quantum work, belief and attitude. You know, if I brought a bad attitude, meaning being pissed off at the fact that I can't go see my horse, if I brought a bad attitude in that into my quantum work, if I brought resistance into my quantum work, my quantum work won't work, right? So render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Render unto the Father that which is the Father's. Follow the rules of the 3D world. show up in the way in the 3D world that you are required to show up, but make your quantum work the priority. And no matter what, stick to it. Sandy says, Mexico is a big challenge, believe me. I don't get importance how people see me and think of me, that I am the sphere of not seeing the real situation. Now I have my quantum mystical tools and I am proud of my new me. Right. I think what she means to say there, she doesn't really care how people think of her. It's not important to her. So, yeah, like I say, we've all been preparing for this for a very long time. And not in a catastrophic way at all, but in a way of learning how to navigate. Beth goes on to say, painting has always reached out to me and I get so many inspirations for different paintings, but haven't consistently taken action. When I have painted, it feels wonderful, but then it's like, now what? The problem is not changing in 6 months, but more like 6 days. I'm very drawn to doing something with profound meaning, not just due to today's circumstances, but for a while now. But I feel I haven't found that yet. I'll need to meditate it on more for sure. Thank you. Yeah, and what I also suggest you doing is just starting, getting a little sketchbook or getting a little paint pad and just start moving, making the vision welcome is really important. Making the vision welcome. So not necessarily needing to wait for the big inspired thing, but just getting the creative, opening the creative door. And that might mean, you know, painting a bunch of teeny little paintings. So you're not having to spend a bunch of money or, you know, invest a bunch of space or anything. Just getting the flow, opening the door to making it welcome. And that at this stage, it doesn't need to be profound, right? The profundity will come after the energetic door has been opened, right? I was a wildlife artist for 25 years. Well, I've been a wildlife artist since I was 6 years old, but I was a professional wildlife artist getting well paid for it for about 25 years. And then one day, the inspiration to paint leopards and lions and African wildlife was just over. I was finished. It was done. That door was closing. I wasn't inspired to do it anymore. I had done it for so long and I had done well, but it was over. And one day the door just closed. But I didn't know what the next profound thing was. I didn't know what was next. It was just, this is done. We're not doing this anymore. And I thought, well, but what do I do now? And all I did, because there was no big inspired vision. So what I did was I just kept painting. I did pet portraits for people. I painted flowers. I just did little quick acrylic paint sketches. I just kept the door of creativity open. With no need for it to be profound, with no need for it to be good, with no need for it to be anything other than a portal for that energy to move. And I did that for about a year. Like I said, I painted portraits, I painted boxes, I painted flowers. I just painted, kept the portal open. And then one day I saw an image from the Hubble Space Telescope of the new nebula that the Hubble Deep Field Telescope had captured. And I said, that's what's next. There it is. There's the big inspired thing. And so when that inspired image came, I want to paint. I wasn't needing to develop any momentum because I'd always been painting, even if it was little insignificant, not meaningful, profound stuff. I was just making it welcome. I said, I know something is coming. I'm just going to keep the portal open. And then when the image showed up, I was ready to go. That image showed up. I had a 6-foot by 6-foot canvas in my garage. And I said, okay, let's go. So I didn't have to wait to build the momentum then to answer the inspired vision when it showed up. So you're something that is profound is there, but your role in that is to make it welcome. And the way you make it welcome is by doing little meaningful things now and getting the machinery of your creative being primed and available, so when that profound thing shows up, you don't have to sprint to catch it because you're already moving. Right? That's one of the tricky things about the quantum slash creative process. People sit around and say, I want to wait to be inspired. I want to wait to be inspired. I want to wait to be inspired. But if you know that there's an inspiration there that you're ready for, then you have to start the movement so that the inspiration can land in you. Right? That's how the profound, meaningful stuff, you'll be able to catch it. It'll hook you. It'll hook you because you're not waiting for it. It'll hook you because you're making it welcome and you're preparing your field for it. When I knew I wanted to get a horse, I'd been thinking about getting a horse for many years, and I knew it was there. I knew the horse idea was there, and so I started horse shopping. I didn't have the money to do it at the time, but I started horse shopping. I looked around. I called some people. I went out and looked at some horses. I started taking lessons. I bought some equipment. I bought a tack box and a grooming box, and I bought tack equipment and grooming equipment, and the grooming box was right by my bedroom, so I would do that grooming box, and I'd see it and say, that's my horse's stuff, that's my horse's stuff, that's my horse's stuff, and I was making it welcome. I said I found a trainer, and I was taking lessons and all that other day. A client of mine, a coaching client of mine, said she had a horse for sale, and a big, beautiful, fancy horse for sale. And it was way too expensive for me. There's no way I could have afforded it. It was a horse, and I don't have that kind of money sitting around to spend on a horse. And so I said, it's a little too rich for my blood. I'm looking for something a little more affordable, but thank you. And I'll let some of my friends know about your horse for sale, and I'll send my trainer over because she knows people who could afford that kind of animal. And so my trainer went out and test drove him, and another girl who's could have afforded a $35,000 horse, she went out and rode him. And then a pretty severe rainstorm came up, and he freaked out in the rainstorm, and he injured himself. He pulled a ligament in his back leg, and that's a pretty catastrophic injury in a horse of his size. And so he was injured, and so he could no longer be sold. He had to be rehabbed, and the rehab on that injury that he sustained was about 6 to 9 months of him just being walked and cared for, and no riding, but just, you know, gentle care. And so his owner called me and told me what happened, that he had injured himself. And she said, we're not going to sell him. We can't sell him with this injury, and we don't want to rehab him. We would like to give him to somebody who will rehab him. So would you like to take him? We'll give him to you. And I was like, are you kidding me? You know, this horse that came over from Europe and it had, you know, $250,000 worth of training in him, and is very, very fancy. And there's no way in a million years I could have ever afforded to pay for him. Well, let me rephrase that. At that moment in time, I couldn't have afforded to pay for him. But they gave him to me. So I was given this very fancy, expensive, beautiful horse. And it took the last, you know, I took 9 months to rehab him. So he's now sound and he's back to work and he's beautiful. And of course, now I can't ride him because of the shutdown. And the irony was I had painted a painting of him several years before without even knowing him. I had painted a horse that looks exactly like him. And this painting had been hanging on my wall for 4 years. So the painting, unknowingly, I had made welcome. And then with all the stuff that I was doing in the physical 3D world to make him welcome, boom, I got a horse, a very, very lovely, beautiful horse for no money. So this is what I'm saying. When we make things welcome, we don't know how they will show up. But if we make them welcome and prepare for them, then they will. So, you know, I know that Maiken is, you know, one of her dreams is to have a child. All right. How do you do that? How do you make a child welcome? What do you do to prepare? It can be something as simple as just putting a few little baby clothes or a few little baby toys somewhere where you can see them every day and say, that's my babies. That belongs to my baby. That's my baby. That's what I did with the horse. And look what happened. So prepare. Make it welcome, and the creative process will emerge. Sandy says about Mexico, so much fear and uncertainty and so much anger with the president that is useless for giving support in this situation, and he makes fun of the situation with the virus, violence, improving laws for their status as the rulers of the government. Some people think this is a punishment in the end of the world. They're buying in with fear. But the paradox is they spend a lot of time watching TV or listening to the news and want solutions, hopeless and panic in their hearts. Yeah. Yeah. This is why we don't look to the 3D world to solve the problems. We go in. Right. The people who look to the 3D world and are watching all of the panic and fear and the government stuff and get frustrated by it, get stuck in it. And it's hard. That is, it's really hard. This is why I'm really limiting my own Facebook stuff, because it's really easy, even when we know it's really easy to get hooked, right? It's really easy to get hooked into everything that's happening, even with our quantum training. So for those people who aren't mystically trained, oh my gosh, the suffering they must be experiencing. It must be so hard for them. So we as mystics, if we can have compassion for those people, if we can send those government people care and hold them and bless them, and all of the people who are asleep and who are running around the world in terror, if we can understand how scary it is and have compassion for their fear and their terror and bless them and hold them in great love and compassion, if we can hold compassion for all those people, then we'll have more power to shape the outcome that we want, to shape the world that we want. You know, it's really easy to get hooked. I mean, like I say, I was trying to put funny stuff on Facebook just to make people happy. And it's hard, you know, as I would scroll through and I'd see different stories and I would read it and I'd be like, and then I'd say, oh my gosh, even for a mystic, a trained one, to get hooked on those sorts of things is doable. So can you imagine how hard it is for those people who don't have a clue? So we have to be able to support those people energetically, send them love, send them care, send them compassion, bless them, bless them, bless them, bless them. That's how we can serve. Beth says, creating a portal makes a lot of sense. I really have no excuse in terms of supplies or a place to paint. I have a beautiful big easel that my husband got me years ago, all set up that I see every day waiting for me. It's go time, Beth. Thanks for the motivation, Simone. Ooh, it's just sitting there waiting for you. That's awesome. Good. Pick up your brushes. And even if you just need to sit in front of that canvas for a few hours and say, what do you want to say? What do you want to say? How? And then you can say to the canvas, use me. You can say to the quantum field, use me. Use me, use me, use me, use me. I am here. I am ready. I am available. Use me. and then watch what comes out of you. It certainly won't be anything you'd thought of, but it'll be something. You know? That's how I would recommend you approach that, my dear. All right, guys. Well, I don't see any more questions and I don't see any more hands up, so I'm going to wrap it up for today. I will be posting, I recorded a new guided meditation for the coherence, stillness, and expansion. So I will be posting that. I'll be going into the classroom right now and posting that. So you'll have that. You can download that and play with that if you'd like. And I'll be posting our next module on Wednesday. So thanks so much for being with me today. Continue to play with your quantum tools. Continue to observe and witness the world and how it's unfolding and what it's presenting to you and what it's inviting you to consider and participate in. And just keep on keeping on. And I thank you guys so much for being with me here on a Saturday morning. And I'm glad the call went through perfectly well. And I'll see you on the in the classroom on Wednesday. Thanks so much, guys. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Bye.